Welcome to the Adonis Index podcast. I'm John Barbin, and with me is Brad Gray Eyes Brandt, probably the best name that we have out of everybody in the community. Brad placed fourth in our most recent contest, and you look good. I mean, if anyone listening, check out Brad's pictures on the blog. And we've just been recently chatting about your history in training and kind of where you came from. you want to give us a bit of your backstory as far as I know you said you posted some pictures of your heavier days.
Yeah.
Do you want to like kind of walk us through your give us the brief talk about where you started and how you ended up where you are now?
Sure. Well, in my early 20s, I lived in Vancouver, and pretty much I'm in Ottawa right now, and that's where I was born and raised. I was out there for some work and basically just kept doing what I was doing from 20 until about 25, but just a lot of partying, not really caring about much of anything else. And one day I just realized I got really big. At my heaviest, I had about 260 pounds, and if I was to believe a body fat estimate, probably upwards of 35%. So I got real big. And
just people listening, you're 6'5"? 6'5"?
6'5", yeah.
So 260, 6'5", that's a big dude.
Yeah, no, I was definitely a big guy. I guess I carried it as well. I carried it as well as I could, I guess, because not a lot of people actually really thought I ever got that big. But before then, it never really took, you know, I would go to the gym every now and again, and just, there was a gym in our apartment building, and just do a few bench presses, or maybe a few days of cardio and call it quits, but I never really got serious. Until one day, you know, I had a son, and I realized I was just terribly out of shape. I mean, at 25, my blood pressure was something like 170 over 110, like a resting heart rate of 110. At this point, we moved back to Ottawa, and we were living in a walk, like a three-story walk-up, and it would win me every time going up the stairs. And I decided basically just at that point, like everything had to change. And I did a lot of research, and eventually I found this program online. It was by a bodybuilder. He passed away a few years ago. And signed up for the online program and basically ran with that for 6 months. And after hearing some of your contest prep interviews, I realized that essentially what this was, it was a contest diet for 6 months. And I was the type to actually be very, I was either going to go all out or nothing at all. Mm-hmm. And it was an hour of cardio first thing, fasted in the morning, 7 days a week. All meals I had a calculator, had a food scale. They were all timed perfectly. Everything was, and I wouldn't miss a meal. If I said six meals a day every 3 hours, I would eat them 3 hours, no matter what or where it was. And I pieced it together. I mathed it out, and I think it worked out to over 1,000 meals. I calculated and ate. And the training, if he told me to train at a certain time, I would make it there no matter what. I was basically completely inflexible in this, in everything. I guess I saw it at the time as a dedication, but looking back, it got pretty obsessive. So.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't really argue. I mean, because I got the results I thought I wanted at the time. I dropped a ton of weight, got down to about 200 pounds inside of 6 months, but it came at a pretty steep cost. I mean, my wife was very, very, very supportive, but it got to a point where it really started to come down hard on her because just, you know, I just wasn't flexible at all in my approach. I mean, she has an Italian background, and at that point she loved making pasta, and I would never eat it because it didn't fit my macros, didn't fit my meal time. And that's pretty much where I got my start in this, in fitness and exercise.
Mm-hmm. And then how'd you get from there to us?
Well, after that, I guess maybe about 2 years passed, and I kind of bounced around to different things. I kept doing a lot of research, a lot of reading, and I was always obsessed with finding, the next best thing or the next greatest thing. And then, you know, I did CrossFit for a while and tried a whole bunch of different kinds of exercise routines, everything I thought would get me there as quick as possible, as fast as possible. And I actually had a huge aha moment because last summer I was actually hell-bent on getting abs no matter what. And I thought I was, close, but actually looking back, I realized what I thought was the last 10 pounds was probably closer to 40 or so.
Like, oh, wow.
I thought I was, you know, I could barely see the outline of abs in the mirror under the right lighting in a certain time of the day, so I figured I was lean enough to try this diet to get myself super shredded. And as I was sitting there drinking my straight BCAA powder, and which is absolutely terrible. If anyone's ever actually tried to drink straight BCAAs, it's awful.
Mm-hmm. And oh, then, yeah. Flavoring BCAAs is a nightmare.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, at best, I would take it with some Crystal Light, and then it kind of masked it a little bit, but it was still never really that good. And I realized, like, as I was choking this down, that I actually, you know, I had absolutely no way. Like, if I ever got that six-pack, I had no idea how to maintain it. All I knew how to do was to be super obsessive or nothing at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized if I got that six-pack, it would be very fleeting at best.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of, you know, started reading some more stuff again. I rediscovered Brad's blog. I actually knew about it for a long time, kind of just missed it. But then I had another really big aha moment, and I was reading over his entire blog, and I saw a post basically of what Brad ate for a day. And I actually remember this very specifically because I actually swore at my computer screen, because looking at what he ate for the day was the most unremarkable thing ever. It was like a Tim Hortons sandwich and a cookie and some, just like something his kids ate. But just, you know, nothing was timed, and nothing like was word of a protein content and all this. It just blew my mind. And from there, I guess he referred on his link page, he actually has a link to the Adonis Index. And so that's when I kind of got the idea of the Adonis Index. And it was actually looked like something that I really wanted to actually, it really intrigued me. Because I remember when I first joined the gym, when I first lost the weight, they talked to a personal trainer. They gave you one of those free intros at the gym. And, you know, she said, what do you want? What's your goals? And I never really ever wanted to look like a big, huge bodybuilder. I never really got that mentality. The guys that always inspired me were like Greek statues or Eugene Sandow.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's the kind of thing I wanted. Like, that's what I wanted to end up looking like. And always, everything I did, I thought would get me to that point. But nothing, clearly nothing ever did. And so when I see that your workouts were kind of inspired by that, or that was more or less kind of the end state, you know, it got me really excited. But it actually took me a while to actually jump on board with the AI. What actually happened was, one of the mentalities that I really kind of ran with, that really got stuck in my head, was being really strength-oriented, really strength-focused. And, you know, I had this, if you're not squatting, then you're not really working out. If you're not doing these big, huge compound movements all the time, then you're just wasting your time. Somewhere along the way, I actually end up seeing, like, a sample programming from, I think you guys remember maybe at the 2.0 at this time, and I saw all this isolation movement, and it kind of really freaked me out, and so I kind of put off it for a while, but eventually I just kind of took the plunge and jumped in, and I guess I haven't turned back since.
So when you saw, you didn't even want to do the program when you saw, like, a sample of it?
Yeah. I know it's kind of silly now, but like I said, I really kind of internalized some really bad mentalities, like really elitist type mentalities. And like I said, I was really strength focused, and because I'm not a strong guy. There's a whole bunch of factors working against me for pure strength, but that's also why I thought I really needed strength. And I also thought too, like, I couldn't get a decent body unless I was super strong to boot.
Yeah, I don't know where that comes from. I think it's, I don't know. I think it's just like a very, it's some people who are strong and are in good shape, and then it's a bunch of people who look at the strong guys and want to be strong, and it's this patchwork of observations that I guess slowly in some people's minds build themselves up, build itself into a strength must equal the best look.
Yeah.
Somehow, even though there's plenty of evidence that that's not the case either, right? So.
Yeah. I followed a few blogs at the time, and they had all these formulas, like, you know, unless you weigh like X amount per pound or something like that. Like, at a given height, you have to weigh a certain pound per your height. Otherwise, you'll be skinny and small and weak. And I really kind of internalized that, and it actually took a long time to kind of get that out of my head. But I'm. At the end of the day, the reason why I jumped on the Adonis is I actually gave myself a really a false dichotomy there, and I really wanted to prioritize what it is I was working towards and what it is I truly wanted. And so I kind of told myself, like, if I could either be as strong as I wanted or look terrible, or I could look really good and be weak as a kitten, what would I ultimately want? And I chose the look good option. And the great irony, the great irony is I'm actually the strongest I've ever been now in all lifts and pretty much everything now that I made that choice, which is really kind of funny to me.
Yeah, that is quite ironic. It's that you made the mental decision to abandon being strong and now you're strong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think, I'm not going to impress anyone in the gym with the amount I lift, but I mean, I definitely lift with effort and intensity, which I guess is what's translated into the strength gains. But yeah, I just realized that just by focusing just solely on strength. I mean, it was really just masking it for what it is I really wanted.
Yeah, well, and strength is so subjective. If you want to be strong in the bench press, you actually have to train the bench press. Like, dumbbell presses don't count. They won't increase that specific movement strength. If you want to be stronger in the back squat, you can't train front squat. You actually have to train back squat. Like, it's that specific, so it's kind of... It's just so meaningless to be strong in certain lifts unless you compete in those lifts. I don't understand what the point of that is. The idea of being stronger overall, of course, if everything is stronger, like we say aggregate strength, then yeah, it stands to reason you're going to have more muscle because there is some relation to cross-sectional muscle size and strength. So as all lifts go up over time, you're just going to be more heavily muscled. You know, that's why we have the muscle index. We're trying to come up with like something that roughly estimates your overall muscle size, muscle strength, anyways, compared to size.
Oh yeah, I mean, and that's the other thing too. Is like I was really jazzed on getting stronger in the big lifts, like the squat and the deadlift, and because I'm so tall, I got some of those factors really work against me. Like when I deadlift, I probably have to pull the bar about a good 6 inches higher than anyone else, just because I got really long legs.
Mm-hmm.
That makes
it almost doesn't make any sense for someone your height to be doing that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I, like I said, I'm never really going to dazzle anyone with my numbers. I mean, I'll definitely work them to the best of my ability, but I'm not going to turn heads anytime soon with those lifts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that strength comes down more to like levers and like body size, and all the strongest powerlifters all seem to normalize down to some very similar sizes.
Mm-hmm.
So you can almost predict how strong someone can be just based on like how tall they are, and then it's sort of, well, so what, right? It still doesn't say anything about what they look like.
Yeah, no, for sure. Actually, I did some Olympic lifting for a while at the CrossFit gym I was a member at, and one of the people that ran the gym was a very competitive powerlifter and a very, very, very good powerlifter as well. And he kind of told me straight up, like, in a somewhat jokingly manner, says you should really just abandon the Olympic lifts because you'll be a lot better at CrossFit than you will at this. And he was right.
Yeah, I mean, 6'5". No offense, but yeah, there's no reason. But it's just not going to help with the shape of your body.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just the closer someone is to just a ball, the better they'll be at Olympic lifting, powerlifting. But the taller and longer you get, like you know, with long limbs and a tall body, that's just those lifts are just going to be. I feel as though they're just going to be more effort for less result. Like, oh, and really high risk potential of injury.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Back squats actually always really tweak my shoulder for whatever reason. I tried tons of different ways, but eventually, like when I did MBF, I just switched them out for front squats because I just, every time they'd always hurt my shoulder.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, and that's just, I mean, I feel like I'm pushing the upper limit of, I'm only 6 feet tall and I feel kind of tall doing squats. So when compared to like powerlifters I train with who are 5'5", and it just, you know, it just looks comfortable for them. Like you see them do it and it's such a compact, short movement. I'm like, man, that just looks like what a squat's supposed to look like. And then I get in there and I feel like all lanky. And then, I mean, I can't even imagine someone that much taller than me.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, okay, well that's your history then. So walk us through the contest. Like you're, just take us through it from like, you know, what did you AGDESE it? What'd you do from a diet standpoint?
Yeah, well, I kept my diet really simple. It was basically the principles of AGD. I mean, a part of me, because of my history of the obsessiveness and because it came at a pretty big cost, I kind of stay away from anything where I get the impression that I'm going to acuteness or just those really micro small points. Because, I mean, they can work for some people, and for some people it's a really good tool, but for me it's kind of a poison. It just, you know, the benefits I get out of that just, you know, they're far outweighed by the consequences. So I kind of really stayed away from that and just focus on the big things. Like, I, you know, I want to get a little bit leaner, so I know I got to eat under BMR, and, you know, I always want to build muscle, so just as long as I train hard at the gym and just let everything else fall in place. Yeah, my general idea for the contest was just, I kind of mapped it out. I figured because I'm tall, my BMR is probably around 2,500, maybe down, but that's just the number I set. Times either 2,000 or 2,500 by 7, so that's my total calories. I kind of wanted to have free weekends, so I kind of gamed it out. So I ate pretty low during the week and then just ate whatever I want on the weekend. I never really counted calories. Like I said, I didn't want to get too obsessed with it. So for me, what the easiest thing to do was just, I just worked in 500 calorie chunks. If I ate something, I just consider it 500 calories, no matter what it was, and just went up from there. So if I had like a dinner, that'd be, you know, either 500, 1,500 or 1,000 calories. And I just kind of guessed them really.
Oh, I see. You eyeballed it and you're like, that's big. So that's probably 3 500 calorie units. Right. Gotcha.
Yeah, and that's more or less how I ran things.
If you had like a coffee and a bagel, you're like, that's 500 calories.
Yeah. Generally, I would just save meals. Like, I'm not much of a big snacker.
Okay.
But yeah,
sure.
So at the times I definitely would snack, it would be a breakfast sandwich from Tim Hortons or something, and that's just 500 calories right then and there.
And that's a pretty safe. You know what? That's a pretty safe guess, because when you actually stop and look around at what type of offerings there are, as long as you don't get a side. If you just get like some kind of sandwich item and a drink, it's typically going to be around 500 calories.
Yeah. I mean, that's just more or less how I ran with it. That was the theory. Yeah, in practice, I kind of just I threw an Eat Stop Eat Fast. I'm taking an evening economics course right now, and it was very easy. Just for those 2 days, I just do an Eat Stop Eat, go to my evening class, come back home, pick up a slice of pizza for dinner, and then a slice or two, and that'd be it for the day. And then, you know, just try to hit my rough calorie goal for the next day or two. And I never really put too much thought into it. And the weekends, I just kept completely open and free, and I didn't really ate whatever I want and didn't really worry about it. I figured, you know, if it wasn't working, it would reflect in the mirror and not in the tape measurements, even though I didn't really take any measurements. But I figured things were going the right direction, so why mess with it?
And you carried that on right through the whole thing?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I think maybe towards the last week or two, I took the vague notion to just try to eat just a little bit less, but I was never really very specific with it. I was towards the end of the contest, I was under a lot of pressure. Not from the contest, actually. The contest is actually something very calming for me, but because I'm a student right now, the funds are always tight this time of the year, and my wife is actually diagnosed with a celiac disease, which has a radical change to our diet. And there was problems with the grad school I got accepted to, with the requirements for the economics course, and there was just an insane amount of pressure. And so for the last part of the contest, I'd say the last week and a half, I honestly, all I ate was takeout for that entire time.
Not exactly how most people would draw it up.
No, exactly. Like, I'm sure if I were to tell most other fitness people what I ate for the majority of the contest, and especially for the last week, they would just look at me real funny. But I just knew as long as I kept the total calories in check, you know, things would work out the way they were supposed to work out.
Well, and it did. I mean, you got
you're
pretty damn ripped in your after pictures, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's definitely the leanest I've ever been in my life.
So before this, would you have, you know, when you did your counting up the 1,000 meals and all that stuff, would you have ever thought that you could, like you said, you got angry when you read Brad's blog, Pilon's blog. Did you expect this to actually work, or were you even skeptical while you were doing it?
I think it took me a lot longer to come over to the actual, like, exercise side and mentality as opposed to the diet, because at this time I tried some other things, and I was open to the idea. Like, I was beyond the idea of needing 6 small meals a day or whatever about stoking that metabolic fire, et cetera. But I still thought it had to be done a certain way. Like, you have to time your macronutrients, et cetera. But just seeing, like, I really got angry. I almost felt like I was lied to all these years by all these health and fitness experts. And just seeing how a guy that looked like in really good shape, that's just eating regular everyday food, just making an effort to eat less of it. So, I mean, from then, and just, you know, after seeing that death of a cuteness post and just focusing on what really mattered, it really just kind of fell into place.
Hmm. So, and then you just said that you actually could grip the diet part easier than the workout part.
Oh, yeah. Like for me...
Are the workouts that messed up looking to you?
Well, they were at the time, just in the sense that I felt really awkward. I remember doing... MBF was okay, the Muscle Building Foundation, in a sense, because it looked very similar to other strength programs I've done before. And so that kind of put my mind at ease. But I'll tell you, on the... Like on the days twos and fours when there were isolation work, it's really silly, but I felt really, really silly doing a Tate press at first because it was, you know, it was an isolation movement or it was just, like I said.
Really? So you have some serious mental hang up on the idea that it has to be all like
I really did. I mean, I looking back, I don't think I can really rationalize or justify it, but that's definitely where I was at the time. But once I started seeing the results from it, I mean, I guess it really kind of shut up and really changed my mentality.
Okay, and then, so, and what program did you follow throughout the contest, or did you just switch it up?
The contest, it was just the 3.0. I think I started off at strength endurance, and I'm not too sure for how far I got. I know I got a few rages in there as well. But it was just the regular 3.0. I think I threw in a chest booster during maybe the strength endurance, and then, but other than that, pretty much kept to exactly the 3.0.
Yeah, and like for a week, you didn't try to speed it up or slow it down or anything?
Nope. The only other thing I did on top of that was maybe towards the last half of the contest, I found a quick little ab routine on Rusty Moore's site there. It was just a simple little 10-minute program where it's just I worked up to holding a left plank for 2 minutes, then a right plank for 2 minutes, and then center plank, and then... Or you should take a minute break, then a center plank for 2 minutes, and then plank on a stability ball for 2 minutes.
So just basically all static stuff, not actual movement stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah, I mean, it was 10 minutes at the end of it, and I threw it in like, twice a week, and that was it.
And no cardio?
Nope.
None? Nothing?
Nope.
No. Do you have any other daily activity? Like, were you moving around or not really?
Aside from just walking around on campus, I have a son as well, so it's the summertime here, so we go out and we play a lot, and we just chase him around. And he's 4 and a half now, so he's got energy for days. I actually tried to tire him out a little while ago, and I couldn't do it. He just outlasted me.
But no, so no purposeful cardio then?
No. Oh, no.
Yep.
No.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I've tried to do cardio before, but I actually end up hurting myself. I did a lot of cardio because I was trying out for the Army at one point for the reserve. Mm. And I think the best I ever got was the 2.4K run test I did in like 10 even, and that's about the best I ever got. But after that, no, it didn't really interest me. I didn't really have time, to be honest, like between being a student and a father. My time is very limited, so I didn't have time to throw in like a half hour, 45 minutes of cardio every now and again.
Okay, that's just further proof that cardio is, you can do it if you want to, but you don't have to. All right, well then, what are your sort of insights and what did you learn from this whole process?
Well, the whole process, I think one thing that made a big difference, I'm assuming, I used to feel this a long time ago when I was a lot bigger, so I think what actually, what helped me is I just learned to really stop caring what people thought in the gym, because when I was really big and out of shape, I'm assuming if I felt this way, I'm assuming that other people have felt this way too, but when sets would get heavy or, you know, I would have to really start working, I just kind of stopped the set right then and there. I almost didn't want people to see me struggling with such a puny weight. Like, that was the mentality I had. But once I kind of threw that out and just kind of really just owned whatever weight, I've gotten really good over the years of actually just kind of retooling negative things into positives. So my goal, I like we kind of discussed before, I know I'm never going to be the strongest guy in the gym. Like, no one is ever going to be dazzled with the amount I lift. But whatever it is that I lift, I'm going to lift it with everything I got. And I mm-hmm. wanted to be the guy that everyone looked at and say, how the hell did he end up looking like that, lifting only that?
Right, yeah, yeah. No, I hear you. And I can resonate with that, what you said about you don't want to be perceived as struggling with a lightweight. I kind of can see how that would be. I mean, that's something I might have worried about when I was first starting off in the gym, but I can see where that comes from.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm rehabbing a sprained ankle, and, you know, at one point I couldn't even do a bodyweight squat. I had to, like, hold on to something. And I'm like, okay, this is pathetic. I can't even squat my own bodyweight. But then again, like, I'm rehabbing an ankle. It's, you know, I know inside that that's not my maximum push. But, you know, I'm even thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, this is pretty weak. So it's, I don't know if it ever goes away. You're kind of always aware of it, but
yeah,
but it's just being comfortable with where you are. And like you said, you look good. So who cares how much weight you can lift?
Oh, I know exactly. I mean, I think by the end, one of the rage workouts there for maybe the triple races or something. I mean, I think I have like the 2.5 pounds in my hand by the end of it. And I'm just struggling with those things. Like, it's like I'm trying to lift a house. And I think people are giving me really funny looks, like seeing this guy just really struggling with these small little dumbbells.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, but then if they were following you along,
yeah, I know exactly.
There's so much trouble, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but I think after all this too, I've become a lot more, I don't know if tolerance is the right word, or open-minded, but more or less, you know, do what you want to do. Whatever you're doing in the gym, as long as, you know, you think you're getting what you want out of it, then who am I to judge what you're doing? Like, I'm doing what I'm doing now, and it's really working for me, so I'm going to keep doing that. You know, if you wanted to squat your day away or do something on a BOSU ball, go nuts. It just doesn't really bother me anymore.
Yeah, so talk a little bit more about that. So, describe that. So I guess my question is, did you care before?
Yeah, no, I definitely did. I mean, you know, maybe it comes down to the fact that I was so jazzed about getting strong that I figured that, you know, at least if I'm not strong, at least I'm doing the right exercise, at least I'm squatting, et cetera. But then, you know, after a while, you really start to realize that, yeah, like, you know, you discussed before that, strength is really relative. I mean, you know, you can say you're strong at squatting, you're strong at deadlifting, but that doesn't necessarily make you strong at those exercises. I think the best example is my dad. My dad's got one of those, I guess they call it old man strength, and my dad can still beat me pretty much anything. Like, he's still stronger than me. Like, we built a dock not too long ago, and that involves just putting lots of wood and, like, tons and tons of rocks to build these cribs in there, and I was struggling, but he's a little bit, but, you know, he used to work construction, and so he would, you know, take these wheelbarrows full of rocks and just whip them around like it's no problem. But the thing is, my dad has never been able to do a pull-up in his life, and I can bang out, not like hundreds, but I can definitely bang out like a few, no problem. And that's something my dad has never been able to do, but he is stronger than me in pretty much every other metric you can conceive of. Mm-hmm. But I never really got jazzed. At this point, I realized that strength is really specific. And so it kind of really stopped becoming an issue for me anymore.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think your perception of other people's bodies changed now that your body's changed?
Definitely. I think, I'm trying to think how to explain how. Well, like I said, I mean, I'm along this whole way, like my body weight's really gone. I guess I guess between now and when I was at my worst, there's probably about a 90-pound difference. But you know, I've really learned to love my own body a lot more, especially now. But even along in the process. But yeah, I'm trying to think how else to explain it. But I don't know if it's almost been skewed in a way. But I think because I'm probably leaner than most people now.
Definitely are leaner than most people.
Yeah. The thing is, my wife too is she's a very small woman, and she's always been skinny her entire life. Actually, it makes me really understand my wife better, because she's about 5'4", and she's never really topped over 105 pounds.
Oh, wow.
How much or how little she eats. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, I never really got fat comments when I was bigger, but you know, she was used to skinny comments. Like, she actually had people come up to her and just offer to buy her a sandwich and say, "You need to eat." And I think how offensive that must be. like, it's really made me understand my wife a lot better and some of the skinny issues that, you know, I mean, she eats a lot. So it's not like she's trying to be skinny. That's just more or less what she normalizes at.
Mm-hmm. So are you getting skinny comments now?
For a while I got skinny comments. Now they happen every now and again. And, they, you know, every once in a while it'll kind of bug me. But, you know, seeing as where I was at one point, I mean, I'll proudly wear a skinny badge as a badge of honor. But now more of the comments I get are, oh, you're looking in shape or you're looking fit. I've recently seen friends that from Vancouver that I haven't seen in a few years, and they're just, you know, they're kind of blown away.
Yeah, well, I mean, especially in clothes. Like, if you don't – and that's the other thing, and I know it started on the forum where I think Gaddafi started it by showing himself in, like, an extra large and then a large and then a medium.
Yeah.
And if you don't wear the appropriately fitting clothes, you will look a little – it'll look like a little kid borrowed his bigger brother's clothes. You know what I mean? Like, you can't –
Oh, no, for sure. I still have some of my bigger clothes. And I used to wear them – I used to wear some of them. They're like my gym clothes. And then when I started switching up to like either just tank tops or basketball jerseys or something from my gym to my gym, yeah. I mean, you definitely notice the difference.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. And then was there, like, did the permission to be light thing, like, help you, or did you even notice it, or did you care? Like, was body weight ever an issue for you? Like,
oh, yeah, yeah. At one point, it was before I found you guys, but, yeah, I've found this one blog that had that measurement thing. Like, you know, I figured being 6'5", I had to weigh at least 225 pounds. You know, I had to at least weigh that. Otherwise, you know, I'd be really skinny and I'd be weak. And but now, by the time I found you guys, I just really stopped caring about body weight. The measurements made a much more sense to me than actually trying to worry about body weight. And especially seeing some of these guys and seeing your picture too, and seeing how much you weigh at that time, it really made sense to me that I really stopped caring how much I weigh. Actually, it's kind of funny to have people guess how much I weigh now in the pictures, because at 6'5", if I told you I'd be weighing 172 pounds, I don't think a lot of people would believe me.
No, I think people would guess you heavier than that. It's just so hard to imagine how tall you are. Like, in that pic, you look like you're shorter than, like, I'm imagining you that you're younger and shorter than me in that pic, but then if we stood side by side, you'd tower over me, right? So
yeah,
it's pretty hard to pictures really are an illusion, like, for stuff like that, for height. And then short people can seem really tall in their pics. It's just really hard to, pictures are a trick for sure from that standpoint.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And then, so okay, so you and I already talked about this. So moving forward, the goal is just building mass then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm more or less planning on just doing exactly what I'm doing right now and just play the waiting game at this point. I mean, I figure as long as I keep calories in check and I just keep hitting the gym hard, everything will more or less fall into place. Has no choice to. And just really, really enjoying the whole process. I mean, for me, the big part was that, you know, I'm really enjoying it right now. Like, I don't. In a way, this whole thing has become almost becomes easy. Like, the workouts themselves aren't easy, but that's usually the easiest part in a whole transformation process. Is just, you know, anyone can go to the gym for 4 hours a week. It's everything in between that usually is a downfall.
Mm-hmm.
And but for me, I mean, I don't sweat it right now. And it actually, like, I remember during the contest, I was just thinking just how awesome life is before everything got really stressful, and just how easy, in a way, the process can be if you want to make it that way. Like, it can be as difficult as you want to make it. And I didn't want to make it very difficult at this point. Like, I just really wanted to enjoy the whole process.
Yeah, you've already gone down the difficult path.
Yeah, yeah. And I think for me, that's the big takeaway, is that it's, you know, as long as you keep to the few basic things that actually work, like, as long as, if you want to lose fat, as long as you're in a caloric deficit, it'll happen. If you just, you know, you don't have to be super obsessive about it. Just get there. I mean, I know you guys have always said that dieting sucks, but I'm actually of the opinion that it really doesn't have to. I mean, cutting calories in and of itself can be terrible or not, but if you combine cutting calories with only eating certain things at certain times, that's when it gets really terrible.
Oh yeah, so you're in a deficit plus you're cutting yourself off from major food categories.
Yeah, and that gets terrible. But if I can be in a deficit and still have a pizza slice, I'm cool with that. I eat satisfying foods. I mean, sometimes it's healthier than others. But at the end of the day, if I'm in the deficit, I'll lose the fat and I don't sweat it.
And so that was part of the key of making it really work this time.
Yeah, and it's definitely the lifestyle because it's definitely the lifestyle change because this it's so easy at this point that it's not even. I mean, before I was trying to ingrain principles like to make it easy, like you know, arbitrarily, like you have to eat this amount of times a day. As long as you do it long enough, then it becomes natural. But that never really worked out for me.
Yeah, I don't see how that could ever possibly work. Think of what we just said. You've got to ingrain those principles to eventually make it feel natural.
Yeah.
That's a contradiction all the way around.
Yeah. So that's pretty much what ended up working for me is just eating whatever I want.
It seems much more realistic if your life situation is such that, for example, Wednesday nights seem to be your stressful night and you'd really, really enjoy grabbing a slice of pizza on the way home because it fits your schedule. It seems way more reasonable to do that and just grab a smaller slice, or instead of two slices, one slice, than it is to be like, no, I should actually have some steamed vegetables that night, and I shouldn't even eat, you know, I shouldn't eat on the run. I should wait till I get like that doesn't make any sense at all. Like, and that's just absurd on the face of it. Everybody knows that, you know. I'm sure people listening can think, yeah, if that's my style, that's just what I'm gonna do. And if I'm having a crappy day, the day is going to win on deciding what you're going to eat, not your grinding out your diet principle rule thing. You know, and then if you have like what you would regard as, I don't know, better stuff to choose from, you do that on the days where you have the time, effort, and low stress to do it.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, back when I was being super obsessive about it, and every meal was perfectly timed and perfectly weighed, as best of my ability. I mean, every weekend we'd always go to my father-in-law's, and they're Italian, and they make awesome food. And I've just realized at this point, like I don't want to pass that up because it's always amazing food every time we go there. And
what did you do back then? You just sat out?
I'd have my little baggie with me with my pre-portioned meals of perfectly weighed everything else. Like I said, I was really obsessive with it. I'd miss Christmas dinners, birthdays, any event. If it didn't fit my schedule, it just wasn't happening.
Wow.
I sat there at Christmas dinner with my little baggie of food, ate it in 2 minutes, and watched everyone else eat.
Oh, my God. I don't know how you did that.
Yeah. No, like, I mean, I thought it was dedication at the time, which I guess wasn't technically it kind of was, but it was also very obsessive, too. And
right.
That's a road I'm just not willing to go back down.
No, I hear you.
I'm here to really enjoy the whole process.
And now you've found a way to make it a lifestyle too, because it's just not that. It doesn't have to be that complicated.
All right, so
your take home message then. I mean, I guess that was it. I don't know if you want to summarize anything.
Yeah, I guess the other thing is if for anyone else that just wants to try it, really just to keep it really general, as long as things are working. One thing that I found, like, I weighed myself on the start of the contest once when you asked, when you posted in the forums there and sent out the email about what your weight was, and then on the final day, and I didn't weigh or measure myself at all in the entire process. I just kind of let things happen. I figured I was doing everything right. It'll reflect 3 months down the road, and we'll just see what happens. But you know, if you're going to go that route, there is just, you know, you get to really learn your body, and you get to actually kind of learn when things are happening. For me, I would actually be losing some fat because I get little cues from my body. I have two rings that I wear, my wedding band, and then just the family ring. And every now and again, they would get particularly loose. And at that time, I figured, okay, well, something must be happening to my body. Then, you know, a few days later, you look in the mirror and, holy cow, I look a little bit leaner, or I can see more of my abs. And, you know, obviously you get the big ones, too, like if you drop a notch in your belt. But as you get leaner, that happens farther and farther apart, but it happens eventually. So I just look for little cues like that, just to know that, you know, things are still obviously moving in the right direction, and then just build on that.
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, if the scale's going to mess you up, and the scale can, sometimes the scale doesn't tell you the same story as the mirror does, but stuff like clothes, like things that are, you have a lot more sensory feedback with clothes and rings and, you know, like things like that. Cause if that stuff starts fitting differently, it doesn't matter what the scale says. You know, it fits differently.
No, exactly.
All right, man. Well, that was really good. Thanks for being on.
All right. Thanks a lot, John.
No problem. Thank you. So for Brad Gray Eyes Brandt, best name, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Donis Index podcast.